How will you decide which candidates deserve your vote on November the 5th? Not just for president, but for all the other races down the ballot that are more important than you might think and impact your family more directly. TV ads and candidate rhetoric are meant to sway your emotions. iVoter Guide gives you the facts so you can think for yourself. iVoter Guide shows you what candidates have done and how they are likely to vote if elected. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I hope you had a great weekend. We sure did at First Baptist Texarkana as we talked about Peter and the restoration of Peter in John chapter 21. Such a great chapter and such a great text to preach about the fact that failure is not final. God is the God of second chances and third chances and 500th chances. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And listen, if you've failed miserably as Peter did, there is hope in the Lord Jesus. He is the God of all grace. And so we had a great time Sunday. Well, I'm excited about today as we talk to one of my heroes in the faith. And he is Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Bible Church. He was there for 36 years. He is an author. He's a radio broadcaster. He is a Christian statesman. And he has a brand new book out, just was released in September. It's called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. His name is Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Dr. Lutzer, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
So glad to be with you today, Jeff, and we have lots to talk about.
We sure do. I've been reading the book, and so the first thing, and I love it, I think you handle these subjects masterfully, but Dr. Lutzer, somebody sees this on the bookshelf or they pick this up, The Eclipse of God, and they say, I don't understand what that means. So tell us about the title.
Well, when you stop to think of it, when there is an eclipse of the sun, the moon comes between the sun and the earth. It doesn't affect the sun at all. The sun continues to shine just as brightly. But it does affect the earth because the moon comes there. And in my book, I show that the moon of secularism is hiding the face of God. And we certainly see that all around us. And you know, Israel had the same experience in the 59th chapter. God says that his arm is not shortened that he cannot save. Mm-hmm. His ear is not stopped up that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from me, and I have hidden my face from you. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, God does not hide his face from his people. But as a nation, as we drift towards secularism and it comes to its conclusions in such matters of morality and human life, you know, we're talking about abortion, we're talking about all these things, what we'll discover is that it is suppressive, it is ideologically driven, and as I point out in the very first chapter, I think that the next thing that's going to fall is pedophilia, and as a matter of fact, pedophilia, that's already happening, mm-hmm. because once you leave God out, there is no stopping. And so that's what I emphasize. But the main purpose of the book is to ask the question, what kind of gods do we have here in America? What are the seeds of the darkness? And I go back to Europe for that, the three mm-hmm. philosophers. I hope you ask me about that.
Because yes, I will.
Nietzsche said that God was dead. And the question is, who are the grave diggers? He said, we hear the noise of the grave diggers. Mm-hmm. So then I go into other things that we're going to be talking about in the next few moments.
Okay, so as you step away and just look broad view of the book, what was the motivation for writing this? What were the, you give three reasons, so what are they?
Well, the first reason is for us to recognize where the darkness came from. Once again, I emphasize the role of philosophy You think of Karl Marx, who attacked God as ruler. You think of Darwin, who attacked God as creator. And by the way, that is critical. People don't understand. In my book, I quote Darwin as saying that the baboon is our grandfather. Well, if the baboon is our grandfather, then, of course, we have no argument against abortion, infanticide, etc. Why? Because we are animals. Mm-hmm. We're a little further on the continuum, but we do that to animals. We can do it to humans. And then Freud and his view of sexuality. But then what I do is this. If you ask me really what sparked my interest, there was an article in The Economist a few years ago in which it said that, God is becoming liberal. He's approving of same-sex marriage and so forth, and we shouldn't pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," but rather, "thy will be done in heaven as we are doing on earth." And then it said in the online version was entitled, "Nearer My God to Me." And so I have a chapter by that title talking about the gods of contemporary culture. And then it said something else. Nobody believes in the Smitey Almighty of the Old Testament, the God who smote the Egyptians and smote Sodom and Gomorrah. So I have a chapter on the Old Testament where I deal with the flood, the killing of the Canaanites, stoning. Mm-hmm. And then one of the longest chapters is God more tolerant than he used to be. Mm-hmm. How do we square the Old Testament with the new? And then I go on to discuss how God is absolutely necessary for truth and for law and for morality. And then one of the last chapters, in fact, it is the last, returning to the God of wrath and grace, not the God of unconditional love. Now, all that to say, my goal was, number one, to understand the darkness. Number two, to remember the sovereignty of God in the midst of our darkness. Number three, to know that we are in a battle that cannot be won by superior ideas, by reasoning, because we've become irrational, and it can only be won really through prayer, through repentance, because behind everything that is happening in the destruction of our nation, there are cosmic forces, the forces of darkness, and we have to understand the spiritual dimensions of our conflict and problem in America.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book is called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. We're talking to the author, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And so, Dr. Lutzer, you have a few years on me, probably about 20, and you've been in the ministry a lot longer than I have. Are you surprised at all of the rapid move to the left that our country has made?
I'm somewhat surprised, but on the other hand, not too surprised. And I say that because as long as God is eclipsed, and I go back to what I was saying a moment ago, there is no stopping point. Yes. So we have a polarization in this country. Those who want to, return to the pagan gods. And let me say this, Americans don't mind saying that they believe in God, just as long as they get to choose the God they want, just as long as they are God. I have a chapter on that, Near My God to Me, where our consciousness becomes God. I'm into spirituality, but I don't believe anything specific. Once you go down that road, there are really no stopping points, and our society is in a free fall. And so what you have is, that's what's taking place. But I have to confess, yes, the speed of it. I remember 10, 12 years ago, Dennis Prager was at Moody Church. Now, he's a Jewish man, but he's very sympathetic to Christians and has his ear to the culture. And Jeff, he made a statement. He said that in Europe, they want to say that men can become women and women can become men, and that's coming to America. And I thought, that's the most foolish thing I have ever heard out of anyone's mouth. Who would believe something that absurd? But he turned out to be a prophet. And so men can have babies. Your son can tell you that he's pregnant. And that's the world in which we live, in which, and let me go back to a verse of scripture, woe to those who call evil good. Mm-hmm. Now, that's important because today evil is being deemed to be good, especially in the realm of sexuality. But that's only part of the revolution. The rest of the verse says, first of all, it says, woe to those who call evil good and those who call good evil. So now the good is being spoken of as evil. If parents help their children understand issues of sexuality biblically, they are doing them harm. They are doing them evil. And I discuss that, of course, in the book, The Eclipse of God, the book that we're talking about, and how parents have a responsibility for the education of their children, standing against our collapsing culture. So that's a long answer. Maybe I'm not too surprised. Maybe I should be more surprised. But the simple fact is it's going to get worse because there is no stopping point.
Yeah. So, Dr. Lutzer, would you you read Romans chapter 1, God gave them over sexual immorality, homosexual immorality, and then a reprobate, depraved mind. When you get turned over to that last one, a reprobate mind, your mind doesn't work anymore, and that's where you say, you know, men can be women and women can be men. Is there any coming back from that as a nation? I think their revival can hit America and many, many can be saved, but do you think there is hope for America as a nation?
Well, wow. I want to say this, that there are certain forces at work, no matter who gets elected in November. There are certain forces at work that no politician can stop. Now, is politics important? It's very important. But it's not all important. And we could discuss that in more detail. But the simple fact is that once you are down that road, it's very difficult to turn back. Now, medically, even Europe is beginning to say that, you know, the change of sex from a girl to a boy, especially if there are artificial changes made in the body, is destructive. You know, Jeff, last week, my wife and I were in Washington, D.C., and we went with some Congress people to a hearing from young women who had a double mastectomy as teenagers because they wanted to be a boy. Mm-hmm. Now they're older, and it has destroyed their ability to be a mother. I mean, they wept.
It's awful.
There were several young women present who just broke out crying because their whole lives are ruined. Mm-hmm. And you see, how does this come about? Well, you know, if you dislike yourself, and all teenagers at some point dislike themselves. Mm-hmm. But if you dislike yourself, well, you were born Betty, but actually you should be Bert. And what you have to do is to transition. And then this is frightening. Boy, I hope people are listening to this. It's very frightening. There are doctors who tell parents, well, if you don't want your child to transition, do you want your child to die? Because if they don't transition, almost certainly they're going to commit suicide.
Right.
What in the world are parents supposed to do with a doctor who tells them that? And we began to uncover the absolute devastation of this. So maybe there will be some brakes put on that, but yeah, that's only part of the equation. The whole idea of same-sex marriage and sexuality generally, and I show in my book the influence of Freud, who believed that sex was the highest form of happiness, therefore there should be no restrictions. All of that has poured into our society. And yes, I wrote my book not so much to reclaim the culture as to reclaim the church. Amen. We have to get back to God. We have to get back to the Bible. And that's why The Eclipse of God, that's the name of the book, and the subtitle, you know, Our Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity. But then you'll notice that there's another subtitle, What We Shall Do About It, because every chapter in my book
yes.
has a declaration of dependence and an action step. What Lord, can we do?
We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and the book is called The Eclipse of God. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to Pastor Emeritus of Moody Church in Chicago, author, speaker, and Christian statesman, really. Dr. Lutzer has such a level of influence in our country, and God has used him all over the world to speak the truth in love. His latest book is called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. So, Dr. Lutzer, let me ask you this as we approach the election on November 5th, coming up quickly. The pastors that shy away from talking about this subject, shy away from entering in and encouraging the people in the moral issues that intersect with politics, how did you treat that when you were pastoring Moody Church? Did you preach an election sermon every 4 years, or what would be your counsel to pastors today?
I would simply say this. In the years that I was at Moody Church, I never endorsed a political candidate or a political party. That being said, what I did is I preached on biblical issues which are deemed to be political today. We've already touched on a few: the responsibility of parents toward their children and for the education of their children. What we have to do is to help parents to understand God is going to hold them accountable. And here in the state of Illinois, just recently, I've been introduced and told about a textbook that is just horrible that is being used. And in a previous book I've written, I quote from a textbook used here in Illinois, "Every sexual perversion imaginable is illustrated by cartoons, etc." So parents, don't throw your lambs to the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means to you. So, is that a biblical issue? Absolutely. Is it political? Well, today it certainly is political. Of course, we have the issue of abortion. That's very obvious. But we also have other issues. Issues such as the whole matter of sexuality, LGBTQ+. That all is political. It's also biblical. That is to say, it needs to be critiqued biblically. And we know what the Bible says about it, as you mentioned, Romans chapter 1. And then something else. There was a woman on one of our national networks who said this: Christian nationalists are people who believe that their rights come from God and not the state. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a Christian nationalist, I hope we're all Christian nationalists.
Yeah, for sure.
If we believe that our rights come from the state, that's exactly what Hitler taught. That's exactly what the communists have always taught. In fact, in communism, you don't even have a right to criticize the state unless the state gives you that right. So we must understand that our rights, when the framers wrote, you know, the words that we are all created equal and endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. I knew that that statement was important, but a few months ago I was in Nuremberg, where the Nuremberg trials were held. I was actually in the room where the trials were held. And here was the issue. By whose law should these evil men be tried? American law, British law, German law? They argued we were just obeying the laws of our country and our flag.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't commit crimes. Hitler had legitimized the killing of the Jews. Why? Because all rights came from the state, and if the state gave you no right to live, that's the way it was. But anyway, there was an American attorney who explained that there was a law above the law, transcendent laws. And in my book that we're talking about, The Eclipse of God, I have a chapter on law. Now, I don't have a degree in law, but I know a little bit about the impact of laws. Like someone says, show me your laws, I will show you your God. So in that chapter, I illustrate what happens when law is not based on transcendent truth. As a matter of fact, while I'm speaking, a verse comes to mind, chapter 59, verse 14 of Isaiah. It says this, justice is turned back, mm-hmm. and righteousness is not allowed to enter, because truth has stumbled in the public square. What it is saying is this, that if you do not have transcendent laws, if laws are man-made, and we're talking about laws that we're not talking about stop signs and those kinds of laws, but transcendent laws, if you don't base it on truth, justice, I point out in the book, becomes whatever people want it to be. There's economic justice, which is socialism. Mm-hmm. There's environmental justice, which, of course, is the Green New Deal. There's also such a thing as marriage justice, same-sex marriage. So the point of that chapter is to show that we need to root our view of law in transcendent principles that have come to us from God. And so is all that political today? Well, of course it's political. Is it also biblical? It's very biblical. So I know that it's a long answer, but to your question, what we need to do is to help parents. For example, the pulpit might not be the place to do it, but I think that churches can have seminars for parents to help them to understand, what do you say to your child who comes home from school and says, Mom and Dad, I think I'm trans. How do you handle that? Mm-hmm. Churches should be helping parents to understand those things. They are political, but also very biblical.
Yeah, for sure. Very good. Okay, Dr. Lucha, let's get in. I love the chapter 2, Three Grave Diggers Who Prepared a Coffin for God, How the Shadows of Europe Have Come to America. And you point out three names that are very well known, Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, and Sigmund Freud. So tell us why those are the three grave diggers.
Well, when Nietzsche declared the death of God, he said, cannot you hear the noise of the grave diggers? We have killed God. So I asked myself, who are these grave diggers? And I could have chosen a number of them. Mm-hmm. But I chose those three that you mentioned because they popped up immediately. Nietzsche would have known Karl Marx very, very well. That is his writings. He'd have known Charles Darwin. Perhaps not Freud, because Freud came a little later, but they were the grave diggers who prepared a coffin for God. Marx, as I mentioned, he attacks God as ruler. Darwin, God as creator. And we know the impact of Marx, who still rules much of the world from the grave. And we know what cultural Marxism is. It's happening here in America, where you take over institutions piece by piece. Bit by bit, you continue to march toward a Marxist society. So we know what that's like. I already mentioned Darwin. He said the baboon is our grandfather. And this means that we are, and one of the things I show in the book a little later is this, that when the animal rights movement wants to take animals and put them at the level of human beings as close as they can, they actually take human beings and bring them down to the level of animals. And unless we get back to the biblical creation of the uniqueness of men and women, we indeed have no argument against abortion infanticide, because we're just animals on a continuum. And then, of course, Freud. As I mentioned, Freud believed that sexual pleasure was the highest joy, therefore there should be no rules. You have Kinsey that I refer to, who came much later, and he, of course, believed in sexuality for children. What he did was absolutely horrible, beyond horrible. And then I mention Nietzsche again, because Nietzsche actually had a funeral for God. Now, he died in the year 1900, but he greatly influenced Hitler. Mm-hmm. But Nietzsche said, the cathedrals of Europe have become the tombs of God. And he was right. Go to Europe today, many of the cathedrals are libraries and mosques and restaurants. The cathedral in England, where Bunyan was, is a nightclub. Mm. Nietzsche's prediction was right. And then I go and I list three incredibly important lessons for the church today. And one other thing, Hitler was so influenced by Nietzsche, who declared the death of God, and I explain why. We can't go into that here in this very quick flyover. But Hitler kept a copy of Nietzsche's writings next to his bed and gave a copy to Mussolini for his 50th birthday. Why? Because Nietzsche said, cannot we be as cruel as nature? So if you live in with wolves and lambs, let's be the wolves. The wolves win. Longer story. But the point is this, where was the church? And I have to make sure that people understand this. Hitler had a very interesting idea. It didn't work well, but it was profound in some regards. He took he had his men take the uniform that belonged to allies, dead men that they had killed, and he put them on German soldiers. So the German soldiers were able to go into Allied territory and create havoc. Mm-hmm. They changed road signs, they spread rumors, and so forth. Now, the reason it didn't work too well is because the Germans spoke English, but oftentimes with an accent. But, this is very critical, that's exactly what false teachers do today. Mm-hmm. They wear the uniform of Christianity, but they are actually enemies of Christianity. And I mention the impact of men like Schleiermacher and others who undercut the church, who undercut Schleiermacher in the 1700s and 1800s said this, religion is a feeling of dependence. We'll trace that through history. I have a whole chapter on truth. My Jeff, I wish we had a time to talk about that in detail. But one of the things that has happened, I want to explain to parents why it is that when you send your child to university, they come back and behold, they think differently than you do. Mm-hmm. It's because we have left objective truth, which exists outside of us, something to be found, as truth that is now within us. How do I feel about this? So compassion has been used to propel the LGBTQ plus movement, and compassion is good. Jesus had compassion for the multitudes, but you can have compassion for the wrong things. And so once again, there are lessons here that people have to learn, and that's why, forgive me, but I feel so deeply about the book that we're talking about, The Eclipse of God.
I do too. I think Dr. Lutzer, that every pastor ought to get this, go through it with your staff, The Eclipse of God. And these are great points to bring up in sermons, great illustrations in this book of what's going on today. And as you have said, the greatest threat to the church is not the attacks from without, but the attacks from within. As Jude said, you know, certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Dr. Lutzer, when you see the largest church in America is Joel Osteen's church, how would you characterize his preaching?
Well, in the last chapter of the book, which I referred to earlier, returning to the God of wrath and grace, not the God of unconditional love, I would say that generally across the board in the evangelical world, the love of God is preached, which we should preach, but you hear nothing about the wrath of God. And we have to get back to the Bible and its teaching about the wrath of God. Christ is going to be revealed from heaven against all sin and against all wickedness, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be destroyed with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power.
Mm-hmm.
Takes your breath away. And that's why we must urge people to flee to Christ, because he saves us from the wrath to come. So, to all those who are listening today, how many of you have ever heard a sermon on the wrath of God? You just don't hear that. God is love. God is forgiving, all true. Oftentimes you minimize sin. As it says in the book of Jude, they use grace as a license for lasciviousness, which is lustful living.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me put it this way. If we don't understand who God is, we don't really understand who we are. And so what needs to be said, not with harsh judgmentalism, but with brokenness and with tears,
mm-hmm.
we need to warn our people about the wrath to come. So, with that background, all those who are listening can ask themselves, is the preaching today balanced, or is it weighted in one way? Namely, the love and the acceptance of God. God loves everybody unconditionally, which
right.
is not true. He loves his people unconditionally. He loves the world, indeed, John 3:16. But you read all of the verses as to God's anger against the wicked.
Dr. Lutzer, let me cut in. We're up against a break. We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and his brand new book is called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. Now, Dr. Lutzer, let me ask you this question. How are we to understand, as we watch America just collapsing, under the weight of immorality and just insanity. The transgender stuff is just insanity. It's just destroying people's lives before they get out of the starting blocks. All that we're doing with open borders, with spending money we don't have, that is unsustainable. And so if you pull out your crystal ball and look down the road, if we don't make a turnaround, our nation can't survive. What would you say to that?
I would say that is basically true, and sadly. And here's what I want to emphasize. If America collapses economically, morally, God continues to turn his face away from us as a nation, Missionary work around the world will greatly suffer. I heard someone say the great hope for America is Christ. Excuse me, the great hope of the world is Christ, not America. Of course. But no nation on earth has done as much as America to get the hope of Christ by sending thousands of missionaries and funding missionary work around the world. Every agency that I know, and I visited some of them in different countries, is supported by American dollars. So is it important for America to survive? Yes, but above all that, I want to give people hope. In my book that we're talking about, The Eclipse of God, I refer to Isaiah chapter 6. You remember he went into the temple, and it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What God was saying to Isaiah is this: your king Uzziah is dead. He had reigned for 52 years. He was a relatively good king. But I want you to know this: the throne in heaven is very well occupied. So even in the midst of our concerns, we have to look beyond what's happening, and we have to see God, and we have to ask ourselves this question: what does faithfulness look like in a nation that has lost its way? And everybody has to answer that question a little differently. Those who are, those wives who are home, those mothers who are home with their kids today have to ask, what does faithfulness look like to me? That's different than the businessman. A businessman texted me some time ago and says, I'm asked to sign this. Can I sign this and not violate my conscience? It was whether or not he was willing to accept multiple pronouns. I pointed out, as I do in the book, and I discuss this, that yes, if Betty wants to be called Bert, you can do that because names aren't gendered. But your conscience will not allow you to call her he when you're absolutely convinced that she is a she. And you have to help people to understand that you want to be authentic. And authenticity for you means that you use the pronouns that you deeply believe belong to that person. So for the businessman, faithfulness means something else. But for all of us, it means prayer, it means faith, it means hope beyond this present world, and we have to definitely live for the world to come and do all the good that we can on the way to the heavenly city. So that would be my response.
Now, a person's eschatology really makes a difference in how they view things happening like they're happening. I am under the assumption that the Lord is coming back at the rapture of the church. That can happen at any time. But the pieces are being set up, and the stage is being set for and the Lord is allowing all this, obviously, but for the man of sin to emerge and for a one-world government and for the Antichrist to take over this one-world government. And so, Dr. Lutzer, I know you told me you kind of share that same eschatology. If you don't have an eschatology like that, how do you make sense of what's going on in the world?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, if you don't believe that God is in charge of history, ultimately, you have to live in utter despair and meaninglessness. On the other hand, even if you believe that God is in charge, that does not absolve you from the responsibility of living righteously and godly. But to be more specific, you are right. Never before in history have we seen such a possibility to control and to monitor the world as we have today. I'm doing this interview with a cell phone. Well, you know that the cell phone has become the new fentanyl. Children are addicted. And of course, we know that the implications are absolutely huge, but we also use technology for the glory of God. But never before would Antichrist have the ability to be able to demand worship from everybody and to know whether or not everybody is worshiping. We see that in China today. So, yes, I definitely believe that Antichrist is going to arise. Could it happen very fast? Yes, very fast. All that we need is a worldwide economic collapse, and then people tell us that what we need is a worldwide economic system, and we'd all better bow. But in the midst of that, we do have to ask ourselves, how do we live faithfully? And once again, to return to the book, The Eclipse of God, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, I have a declaration of dependence. I also have an action step, because I want us to be able to answer the question, in light of what is happening, where do we go and what can we do to be faithful? We might not win, but faithful we have to be.
Amen. Yeah, that I tell my congregation that often, and I talk about that on the radio broadcast. The main responsibility of a believer is to be a faithful witness, and faithfulness is key. Not ingenuity, creativeness, and those things don't matter. Being faithful. Noah was faithful, didn't have a lot of success from, you know, the world standards, just himself and his family, but he was faithful. I think that Noah is one of the greatest Old Testament saints that there ever was, because he's the only one in the whole world. Let me ask you this, Dr. Lutzer, because people are interested in this. Do you see America anywhere in the pages of Scripture as it relates to end times?
I really don't. There are those, you know, who want to argue that, yes, a reference to the islands and so forth, and I don't... That doesn't mean that America will not play an important role in getting us there, but I don't see America. It seems as if everything seems to coalesce around Israel. And of course, speaking of Israel, that opens up a whole discussion as to what is happening there today.
Do you see, where do you place in your eschatology, where do you place Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war of Gog and Magog? It seems like what's going on right now in Israel would easily set the stage for something like that.
It certainly would. And, you know, when it comes to prophecy, sometimes, Jeff, I'm a little bit hesitant because I've seen many predictions fail. So I've always said that when it comes to prophecy, sometimes it's best to say much too little than a little too much. I don't know exactly where to put that. I believe it's going to happen. There are Bible scholars who want to explain it away totally symbolically, but it's too much rooted in places and events. But when that will happen, I don't know. But when it does, we'll all know it is happening.
Yes, that's true. Let's get back to the chapter, Nearer My God to Me. A great chapter. I was thinking about the He Gets Us campaign that was, you know, blasted out during the Super Bowl, and Jesus didn't come to preach hate. He came to wash feet. And so it goes back to what you were saying. We present a one-sided Jesus. He's full of grace, but he's not full of truth, and he's not holy, holy, holy. And that's really, as Paul said, you've embraced another Jesus whom we have not preached. That Jesus can't save. When you think about the people funding He Gets Us, I don't get that. Why would any Bible-believing Christian want to present as Jesus that way?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't want to question the motives of those who fund it. I just wish that I would be able to direct them to ministries overseas, to orphanages that we support in India, to other ministries where I think the money would do a great deal of good. Here's the thing about the He Gets Us. It's basically a woke social justice Jesus, nothing about redemption, nothing about the need for us to accept Him as Lord. But he came to wash people's feet. He didn't preach hate. Well, he didn't preach hate, but I'll tell you. He said a lot of things that made people hate him very, right. very much. Mm-hmm. So it isn't really a biblical Jesus. I guess the intention is kind of to warm people up to Jesus and hope that they'll eventually understand who the true Jesus is.
Yeah. Some years ago, Dr. Lutzer, Andy Stanley wrote a book called Deep and Wide, and he made this, basically this statement, you know, if we would preach more like Jesus, we'd have our churches filled with people, and we would see all these great things taking place, but we don't preach like Jesus, so therefore we're not seeing these things. I guess the case could be made that no doubt Jesus had big crowds. I think a lot of that was the miracles that attracted people, but in Acts chapter 1, there are 120 persons that are gathered in the upper room. It's not a big crowd. And so Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he didn't see a lot of people really trust him as Savior and Lord. Is that true or not?
You know, that's so interesting. In the book that we're talking about, and I keep referring to it, The Eclipse of God, I have a chapter on truth. And one of the points that I make is that truth can be offensive, very offensive. Sixth chapter of the book of John, Jesus makes some hard statements about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. The disciples, his disciples, the Bible says, they all walked away and they murmured. And Jesus said, are you offended? And then he said to his disciples, do you also want to leave? And Peter, to his everlasting credit, said, no, because you have the words of eternal life, and we believe that you are the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus thinned out the crowd by his hard preaching. He didn't preach hate. But my, same thing happens, by the way, earlier in the book of John. Jesus is telling about the unleavened bread, etc., and the disciples come to him saying, don't you know that you offended the Pharisees? Did Jesus go back and say, oy vey, I don't offend anybody? No. What he said is one of the most breathtaking passages in all the Bible. Every tree that my heavenly Father planteth shall be uprooted. It takes your breath away. So the point is this. We have to preach the Jesus of the Bible and not the Jesus of popular culture.
That's exactly right. And he gets us is not preaching the true Jesus of the Bible. Well, the book is called The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Church for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. We've been talking to the author, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And so, Dr. Lutzer, very quickly, where can our readers get a copy of this, our listeners get a copy of this book, and how can they connect with you?
Well, first of all, let me say that, of course, they can get it on Amazon. But I'd also recommend ChristianBook.com, ChristianBook.com. And if they want to connect with us, they can go to MoodyMedia.com, MoodyMedia.com. And if they want to even get the book directly from us, they can go to Eclipse of God, not the Eclipse of God, but just Eclipse of God. They can type that in. For a gift of any amount, our media ministry will be glad to send them a copy. So you have all these multiple ways to get the books. Many of you, I hope, go to eclipseofgod.com.
Amen. Well, Dr. Lutzer, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for spending this time with us, and you're a great blessing to me personally and to many, many others.
Thanks, Jeff.
God bless. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He is one of the giants in the Christian faith and a man of integrity and a man who speaks the truth in love. So I hope you'll pick up a copy of this book, The Eclipse of God. Hey, go out today, be faithful, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.